Hi, this is Don Hutchison with Discover Your Talent Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Derek Champagne about discovering your talent to do work that you love.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. The following interview is designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be. Your host, Derek Champagne, is the founder and CEO of The Artist Evolution, a full-service agency building successful brands, marketing tools, and campaigns, and also the author of the best-selling book, Don't Buy a Duck. And now, let's begin today's Leadership Series interview.
Welcome to the Business Leadership Series, where our goal is to inspire you to become the best leader that you can be. We've got Don Hutchison with us today. I'm excited. Here's his bio: a lifelong entrepreneur, many of you can relate to that, an inventor, author, and coach, and he hosts the daily podcast Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, which he created to help you find your true talents and then to use them to build a career of success, satisfaction, and freedom. He's never had a boss and has created six innovative companies in advertising, publishing, coaching, and career planning, and now on the internet over the last 40 years. Don, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm excited about your diverse background. You've never had a boss. Congratulations. I've had a few, but obviously many of our listeners do not, or we're pretty independent in what we do. Tell me a little bit. Give me your story of being a lifelong entrepreneur, and just kind of take us from kind of some highlights and then from where you are today.
Sure. I had a boss that was Uncle Sam during in the military for 3 years. But other than Uncle Sam, where I served as a Russian linguist in the army in Germany for 3 years, I got out of university and immediately I was going to take a cushy teaching job. I thought I was going to teach Russian literature because I was a writer and liked literature. And a good friend of mine had a startup, grossly underfunded idea for a magazine, and he wanted me to join him. And for some reason, and actually it was just gut instinct, I said, sure. And that taught me, it was the best decision I ever made, because it taught me everything I needed to know as more of an artist, creative type, about how business works over the next 8 or 10 years. And that company's still going on today, by the way. Wow. And got into advertising with no experience, and did that for 11 years. And that was a glorious experience because we had a wonderful firm that grew and was recognized around the world for its creative work. And we represented Fortune 500 companies and grew it with great people and great work, and then sold it to an international firm, Omnicom, after 11 years. And then did the career planning company that I told you about, the Highlands program, now called the Highlands Company, for another 11 years. I seem to go in decade cycles or thereabouts. Great, exciting work. We'll talk about that in more detail, because that's one of the passions of my life, is what makes people successful. Did a developmental magazine for lawyers that focused on all the things that they don't teach you in law school, and then did a lot of coaching and consulting until we found our way into the internet about 7 years ago. And it's been a fascinating journey. And a little over 2 years ago, we decided to do a podcast based on this experience that I've had over 40 years in all the niches, but especially in the career planning niche. And so we talk to people around the world several times a week about their journeys. And as you well know, it's not gotten any easier for people in their life journeys to figure out who they are and what they want to do and how they do it. It's more complex than ever. In fact, Gallup says 14% of people around the world are actually in their sweet spot.
Wow.
And in this country, it's about 33%. So it's higher, but still 2/3 of the people in this country with 100 million workers are not doing what they love. So that's the executive summary.
Thank you for sharing that. Why do you think that is? Is it the social media? Is it seeing so many other options? Is it fear of missing out on other things? Why do you think so many are not operating in their sweet spot?
I think it's a lot of things. I think that it's a lot of things. Actually, I'm writing a webinar on that now, because we're introducing a whole new concept to help people figure that out as part of our concept. I think that, as Peter Drucker said, most people think they know what they're good at, and they're usually wrong. And as odd as that sounds, he was a brilliant management consultant. I think we don't do enough homework on ourselves and what we really are great at, and we don't experiment enough and figure that out. And it's hard in our world. I think we also are, we have too many influences in our lives, and we don't listen to our own inner voice. And, you know, family, friends, HR managers, counselors are well-meaning people, but the answer is inside of us right this second, whether we're 14 or 84. And it's always there. It's born in us, in my opinion, in our experience. And I think we're so outer-directed and so wealth, power, status-oriented that we just don't take enough time to reflect and just go inside and experience. We also, people don't do enough research. You know, they don't get out there and do informational interviews. And there's a whole litany of things that people don't do that they can do that, frankly, are not that complicated, but we're just not, it's sort of not reinforced in our educational system.
That's powerful. And I couldn't agree with you more. You talk about people not taking the time to understand themselves. We've got so many outside influences, biases, noises, and it creates such a tension on our lives. Is this where discovering your talent comes in?
Yeah. The show was designed because I'd studied the problem for 29 years and written a couple of books about it, actually. Mm-hmm. And the it's our attempt to shed light on the fact that this can be done, but it's a problem and a journey that's really about as difficult as anything we face. And so we have people on the show every week who share how they got from not knowing who they are, what their talents are, what their personal vision is, to how they did get there. And we've had almost just about 600 people on the show in 24 months.
Wow.
And whether they're teachers in Rome, Italy, teaching English, or animal rights activists in South Africa, or potters in Seattle, Washington, or Tokyo, Singapore, it's just amazing how the stories are parallel, that it's as complicated as it's more complicated than we probably even give it credit for. Mm-hmm. But if you're willing to do the hard work and take responsibility and use some of the resources that are out there, you can in fact discover the best of who you are and make a contribution for yourself and your family and the rest of us.
Yeah, I love that. And first of all, I'm excited to get to share my story on your podcast soon. I love what you're doing. And you know, for me, it took a long time. I had highlights of being in my sweet spot, but yes, there was so many other things that were biases and noises that got in my way. And I love sharing my story. But how can someone early on, you know, there's two categories. I see people that are either early on can really understand themselves and go the right direction. And then those that might be listening that go, yeah, I can relate to that, but how do I change it? So what advice do you have for those two groups?
Yeah, that's what this talent team is going to do, because we've figured out modalities, as I told you before the interview, that have been working for, well, tens of thousands of people. Well, you know, read What Color Is Your Parachute? read Richard Bowles, just died in April at 90 years old. He's sort of written the ultimate book on how to do that. He covers all the bases. Don't Waste Your Talent is the book that we wrote about 12 years ago that covers the bases too. I would say to folks, the first thing I'd do is stop. Whether you're 18 or 80 or 15 or 35, I just stop and realize that, as I said, that this is a complex problem. The answer is inside of you. Once you figure out who you are and what you're best at and what you want to do and find how you're hardwired to succeed and your purpose, you can use the resources of everything, like you said, everything from LinkedIn to What Color Is Your Parachute to mentors, and you can get there, but you need to devote time to it and make it a priority. Journal for heaven's sakes. I mean, you know, whether people are just so busy, and I respect everybody's life journey, but it's if you take just a little bit of time out, if you take 5 minutes a day to journal, when you can have a quiet time in the morning or at the end of the day, when it's just you sitting there by yourself and just write down the feelings and impressions and experiences that you had that day in 5 minutes to just track how you're doing in that law career, in that teaching career, in that artistic career, in that sales career, whatever it is that you're doing, and just track and just be aware that you're a work in progress. You know, whether you're making $1 million a year or minimum wage, whether you're blissfully happy but think there's something else you want to offer and contribute, you know, the choices are yours and you can do it. It may take a month, it may take 3 years, but you know, that's what we're here for, in my opinion.
I love that. And you talk about stopping the answers inside of you. And I've been encouraged recently by several mentors to, it's okay to be bored for a few minutes. Many of us in this culture tend to self-medicate on seeing what others are doing, and social media, again, as an agency, we use it all the time, but we don't get bored anymore. And we look and see outward what are others doing. When you talk about investing in yourself and having that quiet time and journaling and that time out, those, you know, being willing to look at yourself, and a lot of us are scared to do that and to take that time. And so we do self-medicate with other things, again, social being a big one. But you know, it can end up affecting your health. And my personal story, which I've shared a few times, is it, you know, me not being in the right place and to my calling actually started to affect my physical health because I just wasn't happy.
Right. Well, it's time to think, as an acquaintance of mine that wrote a book of that title is about it, being conscious. You know, you say to somebody, are you stay conscious? And you say, what are you talking about? I get up every day, I'm conscious. No, that's not consciousness. You know, that's being awake and breathing. Being conscious and being in touch with your feelings and really being here now, and whatever modality you think about or whatever philosophical, spiritual side of that you want to look at it, consciousness is consciousness. Mm-hmm. And being conscious is the starting point. And until you are aware, and nobody's conscious 100% of the time, we get caught up in the matrix, right? We got to make that sales call. We got to write that blog post. We got to take the kids to wherever we got to take them. Right. But if you can breathe and you can, you know, take a walk, you know, take a 30-minute walk, or take a lunch hour by yourself, or if you can just give yourself time to think and reflect, that's the starting point. If you can stop just those in those small moments, it's possible for you to achieve what you want to achieve.
How important do you think mentors and accountability groups around you are in this process to actually making a change and being proactive beyond just being conscious so that you can get to those goals that you want to achieve?
I think they're really good. I think they're really good. I didn't grow up having formal mentors, but I always started companies or co-started companies. So I had partners and clients and allies, and they served in their own way, not directly as a mentor or coach, but as, you know, to giving me feedback. And I think you've got to have feedback. You know, you've got to have feedback. It may be from a loving parent. It may be from a spouse, a significant other. I think you just got to constantly get feedback from, you know, how am I doing? You know, from your boss, from your employee, from your assistant, from your client. How am I doing? Is this working? I feel like we're rolling along in the right direction, but are you getting what you need out of this? And am I giving value to you, whatever that relationship is, whether you're doing their marketing program or coaching or creating a podcast? You know, it's just being the flow of that communication, I think, is very important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, I came from the school of not asking for help in the early days, and it came a point for me, and I've always been self-motivated, but for me to have basically a mastermind group and some others around me who could help me in the journey was very good for me. And, you know, I want to encourage those who maybe you are conscious and you see there's another step, but you're not sure how to get there. You know, there's several steps to do that, and I'm sure Don can share many too. And a couple of them are to look at those who are doing it well in the category that you want to, and finding a mentor and looking up to those who are doing it well. Maybe not those around you who aren't doing it. Look to those who are doing it, and those are the kinds of people that you want to look to and emulate and learn from because they've been where you are.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly right, and that's the beauty of this amazing thing called the internet. There's so many groups and of different kinds. You can be on a Facebook group, or you can be on a mastermind group, or whatever. And some of those groups have thousands of people, and they're always forums and discussion groups and everything that are very helpful.
So Don, tell us more. Any other inspiring stories that we should hear from the Discovering Your Talent podcast? Any specific examples that stand out to you that were inspirational?
Well, I have to say that they all are. I mean, they all are. Whether it's someone who's been through a physical trauma and that caused them to stop and reflect, or whether they were rolling along at a high level in their career. But we had a managing partner of a major law firm that, he was 41 years old, and he was just at the top of a top 100 law firm, and he couldn't have been in a better place, and he couldn't have made more money and been doing quality work. But he just, he actually went through, this was when I was doing the career planning thing, and he actually went through this really vital assessment that I discovered when I was still in the ad business, that which takes a few hours, by the way. And it told him that his aptitudes and abilities, while good for law, were not in his sweet spot. And being a manager, which is a whole different set of abilities and aptitudes, and really working on complex legal issues, really the reason he didn't feel fulfilled is because he wasn't really using his talents. So here he is. What does he do? He's making tons of money, and his family's got everything they want, and got all the outward manifestations of success. But he just wasn't floating his boat. So after going through this assessment in one of the courses that we put out, it took him a few months. I think it took him 4 or 5 months. But he talked with his wife. He talked with his partners, and there were a couple hundred of them, and they didn't want him to make a change. His wife was worried that it would upset their situation, which was a reasonable concern, of course.
Right.
But after he talked it through with each of them, he was able to work it out, and he was able to move back into his specialty in corporate law. And he always had clients, but he wanted more clients. He wanted to get in more deeply with them, and he was able to do that. And the firm, with his help, found someone who had a perfect manager kind of set of aptitudes, who loved that part of it, the process and the procedures and the different parts of making a good manager. And so it was a win-win for everybody. But for every person like that, there are 9 people that just stay the course and get to be retirement age, and then they start thinking about what they'd love to do after they retire. But he didn't have to wait that long. He had 20 years till retirement, and he got to do what he loves right now at 41.
Yeah, wow. That's great. Great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Sure.
So a few other questions I have for you. You know, we like to often look at peaks and valleys and how you get through those. Can you think of any examples, either in some of the stories that you've heard on your podcast or in your personal life, where you were at a crossroads or at a challenging time in your business, in your life, and what was your mindset during that time, and how were you able to get past that upper limit challenge?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everybody's out there on this call is familiar with what happened in 2001 with the dot-com crash, right?
Right.
You know, everything had been rocking and rolling. People were being funded with millions of dollars on the back of a napkin at Starbucks because everybody thought that the internet thing was going to keep exploding and exploding, and it has. But in 2001, it didn't. In 2001, it cratered. And so I was involved in an enterprise that wasn't an internet company, but we were getting financing, and we put a lot of years into this idea, and we didn't get the financing. And so that was an epical turning point, because we'd invested lots of our creativity and talent and energy and money into this idea. So it was a real wake-up call, because everything I'd touched before that, through hard work and great partners and great opportunity and some kind of good cosmic or divine intervention, had always flowed beautifully. So it was the first stopping point where I just had to face the reality that sometimes it doesn't work.
Hmm. I mean, in hindsight, I know it's easier to look back on these things, but what was your mindset at the time? How did you get through that though? Was it a 2-week process? Was it a 6-month process? Did you have to step out of the business for a while? I mean, how big was it in your life, and how quickly were you able to move on?
Well, we sold the company. So it was huge. And we sold the company, and I just had to transition over a period of time. Actually, it turned out to be a couple of years before I did all kinds of things that I know how to do. I did executive coaching and did a lot of writing, but it was a couple of years before I came up with the next concept. And I like to invent things, and especially in the area of, well, I told you, publishing and marketing and personal development. So, yeah, it was a real wake-up call, and just through connection, you know, with family and friends, and trying to stay present, and, you know, just taking care of my health and having a lot of love in my life with family and friends, I got through it just fine. But I'd been on the mountaintop for 20 years, and to be in the valley, at the very bottom of the valley, in the sludge, was something that I wasn't used to, but I needed to be there. And for whatever reason, life's a journey, and that was my karma to be there. So it was really, to say it was a growth experience is an understatement. It was really, it was pretty amazing. And here you go 15 years later. This is the intervention that's cosmic or divine, is that 15 years later, I'm able to use everything we learned and invested over 11 years in that idea into not just the podcast, but these other initiatives that we're working on now. So I never lost the vision, personal vision, which I think is seminal to anyone's growth. If you're not directed by a vision, and I don't mean a motivational rah-rah thing, I mean something where you know yourself and you've done a lot of homework and you continue to. If you've got that, I mean, I've had 4 goals: create something out of nothing, do good, have fun, and make money. I've had that since I was 25 years old. And so I didn't lose track of that. You know, I could have gone out and gotten a high-paying job because I had a good background, right. And I didn't do it. I didn't do it, not out of ego. It would have been a little more comfortable to do that, but I chose not to.
Well, that's powerful. Even though your jobs and your position changed, your vision did not. So you were able to sustain and continue even through those valleys. I read a book recently that had a famous quote, but it said, behind that mountain are more mountains.
Yeah.
So the mindset of knowing that there's always going to be challenges, even when you climb one or get through a valley, that's going to continue to happen. But when you have the vision, you know the direction that you're going. And that's so critical.
Yeah. Yeah. It's your compass and it's your true north. And like I said, when I was going through that, friends and family just said, hey, you know, you've got this great track record. You can, so many companies that'd love to have you in this role or that role. And I said, well, that's kind of, yeah, and yeah, I've got a niche it's a strong niche, I'm blessed to say, but I didn't want to play in anybody else's rodeo. You know, not out of ego, it's just that I know how I'm hardwired and I know what my values are, and I like to come up with my own thinking and ideas and then build it, you know, from the ground up. And so that's what I've done all my life. And that's the thing I'm proudest of.
Great. That was my next question, is what is your proudest moment? But I love that mindset and you sticking with your vision. So how do you maintain focus? You've done so many things. You've done them for 11 years at a time. How do you maintain focus?
Well, that's the key question too, in my opinion. I just take care of myself. I'm like every entrepreneur, like you and other friends you've got. I work real hard, and entrepreneurship and creativity is my favorite outlet. And so I try. I don't always succeed at this. Much like consciousness. I mean, Eckhart Tolle says, you know, when you know you're not conscious, you're conscious, because at least you're aware that you're caught up in the matrix and you're not being present. That's so good. There are plenty of times that I get out of it. But I guess just keeping I guess, keeping a spiritual, philosophical center. I believe there's a higher power. I'm not religious at all, but there's good Lord, look at this cosmos. There are 1,000 million universes. The Earth is hardly the center of the universe. It's just one of a trillion. There's a higher power, and I believe love is the driver of in a crazy world with a lot of problems. I think that love of life in all forms is vital, and all forms, not just the human form, animal and plants, and the Earth, Mother Earth, who's under barrage right now, to say the least. I believe that's vital. My personal health has always been a priority. Never just by I've always exercised and done yoga and meditated and never had any bad habits. That's not true. I drank Diet Cokes for a long time, but I never smoked or drank or used drugs. And so except for the Diet Coke thing, which I got off of a few years ago, I eat right. I'm a vegan after the last couple of years, but I always ate organically and I exercise every day. I exercise every hour for about 10 minutes. So just to stretch and do push-ups and just to keep my – just to not just be a worker bee all day, because I can't concentrate for more than 40 or 50 minutes at a time before my mind wanders and, I get pulled away. So I do all that and just stay connected to, family and friends and try to know that their love and my support of them and their support of me is as vital as anything in my existence.
That's great. So what's a go-to resource that you use or that you've read recently or seen recently that's helped you become a better leader or a better entrepreneur?
I just, I don't know. I read so much and look at so much. I guess what I'm really fascinated with, this isn't one resource, but I listen to podcasts some, but I really like watching documentaries. And I think that the thing about the internet that's so powerful is that we can look at documentaries on whatever topic, whether it's historical documentaries. Oliver Stone has one out now about the history of America and what the facts are and what the PR is. And or we look at just watching a documentary on GMOs and that whole issue, because it's a frightening issue. What's happening to the planet with the genetically modified stuff. And the cancer industry and the natural modalities that are out there that are more effective than the traditional modalities that people are learning about. I just try to stay aware outside of my own little niche of being an entrepreneur and podcasting and now this new talent team. I just try to keep a perspective on the world.
Tell us more about that new project.
Well, thanks. Like I said to you in the pre-interview chat, the one of the companies I created, still going on today, that I did for 11 years, invented with a brilliant psychologist, we invented an approach called the whole person technology, which helps you look at yourself holistically, not just the piecemeal. And it starts with an assessment of how you're hardwired to communicate, problem solve, and learn. And I don't mean interest or skills or values or personality. Those are all fine. But this is something that actually, after a few hours, literally a few hours, can tell you, you, Derek, or you, anybody in your life, how they operate best. And then you get a two-hour feedback from somebody who studied that for decades. So we're offering that. And then the people on the talent team, and there are a dozen of them right now, there'll be many more, then are able to take you through interpretation of that and how that works so that you can use the best of who you are. Those really are your innate talents. And then we offer a membership site or sites, depending on the niche you're in, where we're going to every week take apart the remember I mentioned What Color Is Your Parachute?
Right.
It's a great book. And I didn't read it till a few years ago, even though I was in the space a long time, but it's really brilliant. So we're going to take apart the different pieces of the career journey and the life journey and the education journey. And every week on this membership site that'll be around the talent team, we're going to have experts on that talk about the other dimensions, whether it's, understanding your emotional intelligence and how you can learn that and how that works, or whether it's salary negotiation, or whether it's doing research on the industry you might want to get in if you're a student, or if you want to change industries, what that forecast looks like, or different dimensions of how you are can move up in your organization, the skills and things you can learn to grow and thrive, and the resources you can use for that. So it's really a really holistic look, not just another, I mean, I hate to be too critical, but there's just a lot of piecemeal stuff out there. And this is just the opposite of that. This is a holistic look at you and who you are and how you operate and how you work best and how you can develop a personal vision and a strategy to achieve what you want to do at whatever age. I mean, the boomers, I'm a boomer, and golly, they're just, I can't remember, they're like 65 million of us. And a lot of boomers are moving into retirement or second or third or fourth careers. And this is a perfect thing for them, you know, to take a look and say, let's just sort of rejigger here, reconnoiter. Or you could be, you know, a student heading off to college, and most kids nowadays head off for college and change majors three or four times, and because they try to figure it out as they go. And if you're strategic beforehand, if your parents invest in you beforehand, it's possible. I mean, you can always make changes, but it's possible to, get higher on that learning curve about what your real innate talents and abilities are and your real passions and values and goals are, so that you can make that educational experience the most optimal.
Love it. This sounds like an awesome program. Is this something that we're able to check out now? Is it ready for our listeners to visit?
No, but it's in the works, and it'll be there in the next few months. They can just keep their eyes peeled. They can go to discoveryourtalentpodcast.com and follow our podcast. And we're going to be talking about the talent team on the podcast, but then we have a Facebook group, a fan page, Discover Your Talent Podcast. They can follow me on LinkedIn, just Don Hutchison, Discover Your Talent Podcast. But they can just stay connected to us on the podcast or on LinkedIn, or on they can follow us on Twitter, and just look out for the announcements. It'll be coming out soon, and we'd love for them to dig into it and see if it's the right fit for them. And these members of the talent team are highly gifted people. They've got 25 years experience, and they really can talk about mentors. I mean, these are people that have training just galore and have helped tens of thousands of people work through these issues.
Wow, that's I can't wait to check that out. I'm excited about it. So discoveryourtalentpodcast.com.
Yes, yes.
Any final words of wisdom you want to share with our audience today?
Yeah, just remember to breathe. Remember to breathe and be present, and remember that it's inside of you right now. Every one of us is born with, as I say at the end of each podcast, we're each born with innate gifts and talents, and you can find those. They're in there right now, whether you're 18 or 80, and you can find them and you can express them if you'll give yourself enough time to listen and explore.
Don Hutchison, thank you so much for being our guest. Our listeners can visit discoveringyourtalentpodcast.com. Don, we look forward to keeping an eye on what you're doing and seeing the next amazing things that are coming out from your group.
Well, it's been a great honor to be on your show. I wish you continuing success.
Thank you so much, you too, and we'll talk soon.
You've been listening to the Business Leadership Series, where we engage with leaders who are making an impact on their worlds and who want to share their knowledge and experience for your personal and professional growth. This interview was designed to inspire you to become the best leader you can be.